Okay, world. Good morning. Today's wonderful daf and Masechet Erevin brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Chof Tet. And we are in the Borscht Belt this morning. And we've been talking about on daf Chof Chet Omud Beit, which is really where we're holding, is all about Borscht. So why don't we start again and deal with our Borscht problems. So we got up to the last line. We'll start again from there. Omer Rav Amnuna, Ma'arvin Bitradin Chayim. By the way, I just want to point out that Tered in modern Hebrew is not borscht. Tered in modern Hebrew is spinach. But in the Gemara, Tered is selek, is silka, as we'll see, and is borscht. And when we're talking about over here, either we're talking about beets, literally beets, or we're talking about cooked beets, we'll see later on, which is borscht. So anyway, Ma'arvin Bitradin Chayim. So Rav Amnuna said, you can use plain borscht, fresh borscht. Not borscht, I should say, but beets. Is that true? The Amr of Chista Silka says, you see over here, Selek and Terek and Tered are the same in the Gemara. Silka chaya kotil gavra chaya. That, wow, raw beets can kill a raw guy. And that means that it doesn't matter what kind of health he's in, these beets can kill him. Answers the Gemara, who babashel velo bashel. So we're talking about over here, the dangerous kind of beets are like when we talk about semi-cooked. That's what we're talking about, raw, like the Korban Pesach is raw. And others say this like this, that Rav Amnuna said, you can't use raw beets for an Erev, because Rav Chista said that raw beets are dangerous. And yes, the Gemara and this version, but what are you talking about? People eat beets all the time. We don't see people dying from eating beets. No, he was talking about the dangerous beets are semi-cooked. But if they're completely cooked beets, they're fine. If they're completely raw beets, they're also fine. Furthermore, says Rav Chista, that you should know that if you've got borscht, where you actually boiled up the beets, that is yofa lelev, tov leinayim, beets are great. They're good for your heart. They're good for your eyes. And for sure, they're good for your tummy. So let me read to you. I just got on the site about foods. Beets. Beets lower risks of heart disease. Okay. Good source of folate and betaine. And that comes together to lower homocysteine, which is increases your risk of heart disease. So beets are good for your heart. Next, beets boost eye health. Why? Because they contain lutein, which is an antioxidant that stops macular degeneration and cataracts. What do you think about that? Beets. They're also beets combat constipation and keep your digestive system running smoothly. That's exactly straight out of the Gemara, word for word. Sister is really cute. Okay, very good. Okay, but this has got to be a really good beet stew because, as members we had back in Brochus, look, it's got to be sitting on top of the stove and it's gotten so thick that it's going tuch, tuch, tuch when it's boiling up and you can hear those bubbles coming out. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the borscht belt. Okay, so Omar Rava. Now, one day, remember that Ben Azai was always feeling his oats, was always starting up with people, and he was, you know, you couldn't start up with Ben Azai. Kol Chachmei Yisrael, doing him like a klipas hashum. So anyway, one day Rava was feeling really good about himself. He had a good day, and he was like in a big flow. So he tells everybody in the yeshiva, okay, guys, let's go. Today I'm like Ben Azai in Shukei Tveria. Ask me anything you want, man. Okay, I dare you. Go ahead. It's adorable. Okay, so they start asking him. And he says, one of the kids in the yeshiva says, Ahumi Rabbanu L'Rava, okay, tell me how many apples. Apples, says Rava. You mean to say you can make an Erev with apples? Mapitom. Now, there's all kinds of approaches to this. First of all, one of the main approaches is that you have to remember that we are living in post-Johnny Appleseed days, right? There's actually thousands of varieties of apples. Most of them are really not very good to eat at all. So the question is whether he might possibly, and Tosus raises this, he might possibly be talking about apples, which were common in his area in the time of the Gemara, where they really were not considered to be a type of food that you would want to eat a meal out of. So Mameli, he was serious about this question. Okay, but Tosis himself suggests that this is not a serious question. Tosis just felt that Rava was saying, look, if a guy wants to challenge me, he damn well better have his facts straight. So I'm asking him, okay, first, let's see the basis for your assumptions, okay? You say we can use apples? First, prove we can use apples, then ask me. So it was just sort of a lechadet bo zetalmidim and part of his very aggressive stance on this day. So, okay, there's other approaches as well, that there may be different types. Obviously, that's obvious. I mean, that different types of apples and different levels of using apples, but we'll see. So in any event, the Gemara said, what do you mean? Of course you can use apples. Velo. Vatznan. Now, what we're about to do, gentlemen, is we're going to be getting into another food to Erev relationship. Remember that so far what we've been talking about is the relationship of food for Erev to the dinim of food legabe tuma, food legabe kinyan of money that you had from Maaser Sheni, and food legabe brochas, right? Today we're going to introduce some interesting new issues, which would include the question of food in terms of the Mishnah in Peah that describes how much food you have to give an ani when you're handing out Maaser ani. That's yet another level, because that would be what would be considered to be a nitinam. The Torah says, v'natata la'ani v'lager, and so on. So what is considered to be a choshev nitina, and that would also correlate in certain circumstances with Erev. This is a new correlation we didn't see before, and we're going to see whether it's a complete correlation and get into details about it, because Rav is quoted in different ways about that. And we're going to continue today to see further correlations when it comes to liquids, because when it comes to liquids, we've got all kinds of other things that we have to consider, including, interestingly enough, whether a liquid will passel a mikveh and how much it will passel a mikveh with, which obviously wouldn't apply to solids. And we also have the paid political announcements of Rav Papa, who always says that beer is best, and Papa beer is even better than other beer. And if you've got some of that Papa beer, then you can basically get away with murder. So there might be a lot of foods you wouldn't dare use for an Erev, but as long as you've got Papa beer, it would be fine. So, okay. So that, again, also we'll see today. You really get into the swing of things with the different shittas in the Gemara. This is very sweet. Okay. So anyway, so this allows us now to start up with Rava, because here we have a new concept of food legabe tuma. We were talking about food legabe tuma in terms of the Kabbalah's tuma of the food. Now, this is a new correlation today, and that's called psul gviya. You'll remember that foods obviously can never be metame and adam for a very simple reason. You're only tame as an adam from an av hatuma. And ochlen umashkin cannot become avot hatuma. Nonetheless, we have a gezera, which is called psul gviya, which passels you, and this was the gezeiros that we spoke about at great length back in Shabbos, and that is that you can passel a person who eats a certain amount of food. So this is a new correlation, and it says over there in the Mishnah that all types of foods can be added up together for one chatzi pras, two beitzim, to be, according to Rashi, to passel the person from being able to eat truma, and the Mishnah correlates it to the Erev. They will all be able to combine together for the shtei se'udot of the Erev, which we'll see what that means, combined together, in any event. And the third correlation is that all kinds of foods also can combine to equal the size of a beitza, legabe the din of tumas ochlin itself. So these are three correlations, two different types of tuma, and one din of Erev. Ask the Gemara, what does that have to do with anything? Understand, what does that have to do with apples? I mean, if you're going to tell me, because it says all foods, come on, we just had Rabbi Yochanan, who says, never believe what it says, all, ever. So, okay, so it says all foods, doesn't mean apples. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, ain't lemeidim in aklolos. No, that's not why. It's because of the correlation. Since it says, Beferish in the Mishnah, that we can, anything that is good, we have Mazon Shtei Sudot La'eruv and for Tamei Tumas Ochlin. Now, there's no question that apples are certainly going to be Matamei Tumas Ochlin because it says, Kola Ochel Asher Ye'achel, and they are definitely edible. So then that means, by definition, if they're correlated, it's good for the Eruv. So, okay, so now we've established that whether Rava was playing around or whether he was serious, but in any event, you certainly can use apples. Now the question is, how many apples? And this leads us into, again, it sounds like details, but in fact, what we're really dealing with are conceptions, and the reason that this detail is going to lead us into a conceptual issue is because it opens up the question of the dinim of an Erev being defined by not necessarily the food itself, but the food, the way that food is usually utilized within a meal. And because of the fact that apples are used in meals in a very different way than certain other fruits might be used, that opens up the sugya for us. Because Reb Nachman says you would need a whole kav of apples, which is basically four lug of apples. It's like a lot of apples, right? So the question was like this. In a braita, we have Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, that this is talking about also giving out meiser ani when you're handing it out to the ani. Remember, if the ani is collecting from the field, he collects. But the type of fields that are first harvested, put into a silo, and then you hand out the food, so then you have to give out what's considered to be vinatata, which is a chosha vashir. So, okay, so how much do you give if you've got spices? Well, spices is an uchla. An uchla is a small amount. That would be a half of a revias, would be 1/8 of a lug. How about vegetables? So it says over here, vegetables would be one lug, which would be the equivalent of shesh beitzim, which is called a litra. And then if you're talking about more choshava things, you've got nuts. Nuts were very expensive, still very expensive. So 10 nuts, 5 peaches, 2 pomegranates, 1 esrog. And now, Gursak Bardari, it's important to remember this because we're going to be talking about it in a moment. Gursak Bardari quoted Rav Menashe Bashiguvli, who quoted Rav as saying that this braita applies to an Erev, and it's correlated with these netinot to an ani. And therefore, my problem is that if peaches are okay to have 5 peaches, so then apples should be like peaches. I mean, they're both basically fruit. So why isn't 5 apples enough? Why are we talking about a kav, which is so much more? So here the Gemara establishes a new din. Peaches are considered to be choshev for eating in a meal, not something that you would sit back and just munch on only. And because of that, since you will, and I'm sure you've seen, you know, plenty of cooks will take a peach or a half a peach, a cooked peach, put it on top of something in the meal. So it's on top of the meat or it's on top of a piece of chicken or with the kugel or whatever. Whereas apples don't have that level of chashivas, and therefore they're mostly chashiv in terms of being a snack. So for that, you need to have enough of an apples that would satisfy you just eating apples. But remember that the other shiurim are kavu according to the chashivas of the normal way in which you would eat them, since you could use these peaches for enough, for having along with 2 meals, for an Erev, they themselves are enough. This is the yesod, that the Erev does not require the meal itself. It requires the formal description of an ingredient in the meal that would be enough for 2 sudas. And when it comes to these peaches, that's sufficient. Says Rav Yosef, I sure hope the good Lord forgives the Menashe Bar Shiguvli, because, man, did he misquote Rav. What a chutzpah. I told him this whole pshat. I explained to him that Rav correlated the nesina to the oni from the Mishnah in Peah, and he went ahead, and he teaches Gursak Bardari in the name of Rav, which I never said, and he correlates the nesina in the braisa to an oni with the shiurim. That's terrible. May the good Lord forgive him. I'll tell you what it was said about. It was said about the Mishnah. We all know the Mishnah. It says, Ein pochatin la'ani begoren. If you're giving out to the poor, you have to give them a half a kav of wheat or a whole kav of barley. Rabbi Meir says, no, you could do a half a kav of barley. You would need, getting back to the rabbi, you need a kav and a half of spelt. You would need a whole kav of the dried figs, the grogrot. Or you could use a mana. Now that, of course, is strange because now suddenly we're switching from volume to weight. So Rashi explains, yes, indeed, we're switching from volume to weight because when you're selling grogrot, then you usually sell it by volume. But when you're talking about pressed figs, as opposed to the dried figs, the pressed figs that are pressed into those cakes and containers, they're usually sold by weight. And Rabbi Akiva says, well, no, the shear over there is a half of a mana, actually. So that's a pras. And then a half a lug of wine. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, a revius of wine is enough. A revius of oil. Rabbi Akiva says, no, a shminis is enough. So half of that. And all other kinds of fruits, which are not listed over here, would be enough for the oni to be able to sell to buy himself food for two seudas. And there I said, that Rav said v'chein la'eruv. Now, he had no right to apply Rav to the Braita. What the heck is the difference? I mean, and what makes you say, because Tosfos says, the Gemara knew that Rabbi Yosef did not have this directly from Rav. So it means he, in his mind, had correlated Rav's statement, the correlation statement of Nesina to an Ani Begorin, with the Mishnah in Peah, without really knowing 100% that Rav had said that. Why did he assume, why did he assume that Rav only would have said it on the Mishnah and not on the Braita? Now, maybe it's because the Braita mentions spices. And spices are not really roy to be eaten alone, so you wouldn't be able to use them for an Eruv, which is not 100% true anyway, because the Rambam paskins that indeed you can by the same criterion, that it's enough spices for the meal. Okay, but maybe that was the reason, but that can't be the reason, because the Mishnah also has stuff in it that is completely useless for an Eruv. You can't use raw wheat or raw barley, or all those other things, the spelt and everything else, those are not considered to be foods for an Erev, because remember one of the criteria and when you're dealing with an Erev is that it's got to be edible the way it is, not edible when it's turned into something else. The point was that Rabbi Yosef correlated it to the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said a chatzi lugiyayim, which is a lot of wine, double the amount of wine we normally consider to be chashav, right, which is a revius. And Rav said on his own elsewhere, he said, you need two revius of yayim, which is a chatzi lug. So because of that, Rabbi Yosef assumes that Rav is actually deriving that from the correlation to the giving of the ani, which is mentioned in the Mishnah. So if Rav needs that much wine, so apparently Shema Minaki Omar Rav V'chein LeEruv, he must have said it about the Mishnah, and that's where he got the idea that you need that amount of wine. So one second. So when you sit before, by the way, you can use different foods, you could combine them. We said all of the foods could be combined. What do you mean when you say combined? Now, Rav Yosef, he thought combined means one type of food for one meal, and one type of food for another meal. It doesn't mean you combine little pieces of different shiurim. So let's say a quarter of a meal of peaches with a quarter of a meal of kugel and a quarter of a meal of wine. You can't combine it in that way. And Rabbah said to him, no, it's not true. The din is that even pieces, as long as they add up together to the amount that would be necessary for two whole meals, you could combine. It doesn't mean you need a whole meal of X and another meal of Y. Okay, anyway, getting back to what Rav said. So Rav said, two revius. That's a lot of wine. Do we need that much? Because after all, we have another brice of Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, the amount of wine. Now here we get again to the question of dual usage. And for the first time, we're isolating drinking from eating. Because, I mean, wine can be used in two different ways. You dip in wine and you drink wine. So if you're going to be talking about drinking wine, it's the first time we thought about drinking for the Erev. And this is the Gemara that Richie was using, whereas the Talisker Rebbe, of course, was a Bucky and Shas. And when he wanted to make himself an Erev, he used a bottle of Kedem grape juice. And that was the Erev. How could that be the Erev? Because of this Gemara, as we're about to see. There's a difference between, I'm getting nervous that Richie may not be there, and only the name Richie is there, because usually when we tickle Richie's toesies, he at least shows his face. Ah, okay, there he is. Okay, very good. All righty. So if that's the case, we have to distinguish between dipping wine and drinking wine. Okay, so if Reb Shimon ben Elazar says the amount of wine you need is the amount that you would use to dip bread in it for two meals, which obviously is not two whole revias. Same thing is true of a vinegar. The amount that you dip some meat into your vinegar. And what about olives and onions? Enough to put on your bread, you know, a little bit of a spread on your bread, which is a tiny amount. So that's much smaller than two revias. Answers the Gemara, indeed, it depends what we're talking about. You're talking about cooked wine, which is used as a dip. So, of course, cooked wine is a dip. When you're talking about wine, then the main purpose of wine would be for the drink. And if it's a drink, it has to be enough to drink for two sodas, which would require two revios. So you see that even though it's a fascinating halacha, right? Because even though something is more chashev, it flips it into a different type of use. And then it has to be that use, which is going to be usable for the Erev. And now also, agav, we discover that an Erev doesn't have to be made out of food to eat. It can be made out of liquid to drink. So we've got a lot of very interesting new facts on this daf so far. Now, by the way, you mentioned before the amount of vinegar that you would use for dipping in. So Rav Gittel Amar Rav said, yeah, enough to dip. I mean, if you're a vegetarian, okay, and you're like a really dedicated vegetarian, so your entire meal is actually vegetables. If the meal is entirely, if that's what you're eating, then that's what you would need. So then it would be the amount of shtei se'udot shel yerek. But others say, no, Rav Gittel Amar Rav said the amount of vegetables. So it depends whether Rav Gittel was totally vegetarian or not, as you could see. So in the first shot, he was talking about veggies as being the meal, in which case, if veggies are the meal, then you would need enough dip for veggies for an entire meal of veggies. Masha Einkein, the way that we quote him the second time, of course, it's really Rav that he's quoting, some of Gittel himself, was the amount of veggies that you would eat as a side dish, the amount of chometz that you would need to dip those veggies as a side dish. You see, we're talking about, this is a cascade. In other words, because we're going to describe first the primary thing that you're going to be eating your meal with, then the secondary thing, and the secondary thing would be enough to be the side dish, and then that which is necessary for dipping the side dish in separately. So it goes down at each level, and it's still enough for your Erev, which is remarkable, as long as it's not a food that is choshev on its own in a different context. Fantastic. Okay, anyway, we were talking about, you mentioned before, olives and onions and so on. Can you really use onions? There was once a story of this guy who comes to this town of Ardiska, and Rabbi Meir was in that town for Shabbos, and this guy comes to Ardiska, and he had left his home, and he said, I'm on my way to Tiv'in, which was way out of the tchum of my town, but I made an Erev to be able to get there, and I'm on my way, and I'm here in Ardiska, which was outside of his tchum, his original tchum Shabbos, not for the Erev. He couldn't have even gotten to Ardiska, and I used onions for my Erev. Rabbi Meir said, well, boy, you is in big trouble, because you can now not even move outside of your Arba Amas, because you're outside of your tchum. Your Erev of onions is useless. Apparently, you can't use onions. So why'd we say enough onions to be able to dip, use as a dip for your bread? Something's wrong. So, by the way, making the guy stick to four amos doesn't really make sense, as Tosis points out, because even if you leave your tchum, if you're in a different city, that city is four amos. So it's any enclosed area or any defined area vis-a-vis tchumim is the place where you're stuck. So why did Rabbi Meir say he can't move outside of his arba amos? So Tosis suggests that this took place outside of the town of Ardiska, where he met Rabbi Meir. It was within the tomb of Ardiska, but he was out of his tomb. Okay, anyway, so Rabbi Meir wouldn't let him go, so apparently you can't use onions. So again, it depends. It's the very same way we made distinctions about the quality of apples or the quality of the beets or the way in which they were cooked. So the same thing is true over here. This guy had used the leaves that had grown out of the onion. Those are not healthy. So this happens to you very often. I'm sure you put your onions away in your onion drawer. You come back the next week and they got all these leaves coming out of the top. And you say, wow, that looks really yummy. Don't eat them. because those are indeed not very healthy, and because of that, you can't make an Erev, but using the actual onion itself, the bulb of the onion, is fine. Because like it says in the Braita, let me tell you something, man. If you went to bed after eating onions and you wake up dead, don't wonder why you woke up dead. Okay, so apparently these onions are not too healthy. And but we said over there that Shmuel, the doctor, said that's only if you ate the leaves, not if you ate the onions themselves. Those are okay. Not only that, but the leaves themselves are not bad if they've already grown up to be a whole zeret. That's the, remember, the zeret is from a thumb to pinky size, and that much is okay once it grows that amount. Or if Papa said, but this is only if you don't have Papa beer with it, silly. If you drink the beer, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how big they are and what you're eating with it. That beer will make everything fantastic. Anyway, like it says in the Braita, you shouldn't eat onion because it's got this nachash in it. The nachash is just, according to most Rishonim, nachash is just a nice way, cute way of referring to whatever is harmful in it. There is, Tosus brings the Rabbi Elchananel's pshat over here, that the nachash is the seed pod, which looks like a curled up nachash, and it's actually referring to a particular part in it. And what once happened, Rabbi Hanina ate a half an onion, and that means that he ate half of the nachash, and that it was enough that he got sick and he was going to die, and everybody had to daven for him, and he was only saved because of the fact that the shoah was trichalo and the tzibur needed him, and whew, boy, was he in luck. Anyway, the question over here now is getting to beer. So if we talk, we know how much wine we need for an Erev. How much beer do we need for an Erev? Ha! Once Rav Papa brought up his beer, we're going to get straight to the question. So Rav Zera Omar Shmuel says that you can use Erev in a beer, a beer in an Erev. And not only that, but that beer, if it falls into a mikveh, will, you notice that Barnea is giving us an example of how beer falls into the mikveh. You know, somebody sits there for some reason shaking the beer, and it happens to fall into a mikveh that was chas or shloshalugin, and that will actually pass the mikveh. You remember, once a mikveh is missing shloshalugin, if you put in mayim sheuvim in it, then you can no longer kasher it. So if the beer is given that same din, then it'll pass the mikveh, says Rav Kahana. Isn't that obvious? I mean, now, Rav Papa, I guarantee you, did not like this question. What's the difference between beer and colored water? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But anyway, if we know that colored water can pass the mikveh, why wouldn't beer pass the mikveh? Because in the Mishnah it says, Beferish, colored water made seva postes a mikveh b'shlosh alugin. In which case, what does Shmuel have to tell us that that's a din of beer? And the Gemara answers that over here, there's also a concept of what the shame of the issue is. And over there, colored water retains its connection to water because that's what it's called, colored water. But over here, beer, you might have thought, even though it may be made out of water and it's mostly water, it still has a completely new shame of a drink and therefore wouldn't pass the mikveh, kamash malan, that it does pass the mikveh. Tosis points out, by the way, this seems to be against the Gemara and the whole sugya that we had in Makkos about wine that will not pass the mikveh like this. And that's because, as Tosis points out, well, of course, beer is made out of water. So the beer is not going to change its spot just because you call it beer. But the yayin, if it's called yayin mazug, then the element of the water in it is still considered to be part of the yayin because the yayin is not fundamentally made of water. So we don't see it as, well, remember, we don't even see mashkin, that are even apple juice, is not considered to be water, even though it's 99.9999% water. Okay, v'kama ma'arvim. So how much beer do we need? So Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Yosef told Rav Yosef, his father, he says, I would think that you could use two revios. So revios over here does not mean a revios of a lug. A rev'ei shichra would be two revios of a kav. A kav is four lug. So that would mean that two revios of a kav, which is actually half, means it would be two full lugin. not related to revias that we use, revias of a lug when it comes to wine. So apparently Rav Yosef's son liked his beer. So if we're talking about that kind of drink, this is a pretty serious amount, a nice size beer mug of beer. And indeed, everybody's machalic between a beer mug and a wine glass, of course. So no comparison. You would need 2/4 of a cup. So the basis of this actually is not just that he likes his beer, obviously, but is based on the Mishnah. Ah, now we have a new correlation. So let's think about our correlation so far. We've correlated Eruv with the dinim of Tuma, Eruv, the types of food, correlated with the dinim of Brocha, Eruv correlated with Tumas Gvia in terms of how much you can drink, Eruv correlated with the types of foods that could be bought by Maaser Sheni, Eruv correlated with the amounts of food that are given out to an Oni Begoren of Maaser Oni, and also we are now taking a look at a correlation of the amount of food in terms of its chashivas with Hotzah and Shabbos, because over there also we need to define what is considered to be a choshev amount to be motzi. And as Moshe is showing us right there, there we've got Moshe Forman, a beer mug. Hold it up a little bit tall as we can see that. Ah, there we go. It's a serious mug with a wine glass. And never shall the two meet. Okay, so if that's the case, the Mishnah says when it comes to Hotzah and Shabbos, our new correlation, Yayin is kidei mezigas hakos, and we know mezigas hakos would be enough to make a revias out of it. The bride explained, what is that? Mezigas kos yofe. What's a kos yofe? Koshel brocha. And Reb Nachman said a koshel brocha needs to have 1/4 of a kav of, once it's 1/4 of a kav again, which over here, 1/4 of that kav of pure wine in order to make a revias of real wine, which is basically going to be okay to drink, because Rava says any wine that you can't dilute 3 to 1, that's not considered to be wine. So because of that, we're saying that 1/4 kav, which is 1 lug of diluted wine, requires 1/16 of a kav, in other words, 1/4 of a lug of pure wine, because that's 3 to 1. So if the Braisa, if the Mishnah, the way Rav Acha shows us, the Mishnah now shows us that 1/4 lug of wine is going to be chayev. Now take a look at the end of that Mishnah and see how that would apply to beer. Because the end of the Mishnah says any other type of liquid, you would, even it talking about junk water, your dish water, which we spoke about, remember, in Shabbos, what good is that? Fine, but that's not our sugya right now. There, you have to have 1/4 of a kav. So here's how I understand it, says Rav Acha. If the relationship of liquids, other liquids, to wine is 1 to 4, midasim al chad arba, so then the same thing should be true about the beer, right? So Rav Acha was basically saying, let's take 1 to 4. So since Rav had said before that you need 2 revias, that should be 1/2 of a lug as the amount of wine that you need. So if you need beer 4 times that much, that would mean that you need 2 full lug in a beer. That's where I got it from. But, says the Gemara, you can't rely on that at all. Because over there, there's a completely different, the correlation to carrying is not an accurate correlation that Rav Acha is making. Because over there, when it comes to carrying, it's the chashivas that is nogea. But over here, it's not the chashivas that's the nogea. It's the question of what you would drink and rely on as you're drinking. Now, sometimes when people, there are kinds of beery people, which will just take a nice big cup of beer in the morning and a nice big cup of beer at night, and that keeps them going, man. They don't need anything but that. So that would be enough for the Erev and would not be enough for Hotzah of Shabbos. All right, then we get into other types of interrelationships. How many dates would you need? So Rabbi Yossi says a kav, and I know that it's a kav because of the fact from, and this is another interesting correlation just in terms of chashivas, which is fascinating because the Gemara is getting to every single different type of consideration that we have, whether it's correlated in the end or whether it's not. The Gemara is putting together a sugya of Eichlin Umashkin in all of its variations across Shas, which is remarkable. And one of those interesting correlations is a Yisrael who eats truma. So the deal over there is he has to replace that truma, he has to give something, and that thing that he gives becomes truma itself. Okay, So it says in a bright that if a Yisrael, this is only Bishogeg, so if Yisrael eats these grogrot, and he pays back with dates, oh boy, that's wonderful. Tovo alav bracha. So this is my first, I'm going to establish that that means that dates must be better than it, what it is that he had eaten, which was the figs. He ate dried figs, and now he's paying back, so, because it's saying he should be blessed. Ay, brachas avdan kop, mein kind, hechidami. So what would be the case over here? I mean, if he's paying, is this a machlokas? Do you pay according to value, or do you pay with the equivalent amount? So if you hold that he's paying the same value, meaning he ate a buck and he's paying back a buck, I mean, what kind of bracha? That's not tovo alav bracha. He ate a buck, he paid a buck. It must be that we're going over here that he paid according to midah. So he eats one, let's say, one bushel of dried figs, right? And then he pays back one bushel of dates, which are worth much more. So it's worth like maybe four times as much. And obviously we're just saying more, whatever we said, we're worth four, but whatever it is. And it says he should be blessed. Okay, anyways, you see that dates are better than figs. So if it said a kav of figs is enough for an Erev, obviously a kav, it's certainly not more than a kav, I mean, maybe even less, but obviously a kav of dates is good, says Abaye, no. It may well be talking about that he paid in value, and he did not talking about, it's not talking about at all that the kav of dates is better. It could very well be that it only says tovo alav bracha because, generally speaking, people are more likely to buy some fresh dates that just arrived, and it's easier to sell that than it is in terms of market conditions than it is to sell dried figs, which dried figs you can buy at any time. So he's paying an immediate kofitzele zvina, something that customers are ready to jump for, which makes it easier for the kohen to sell, that's all. But it has nothing to do with its innate chashivas. As far as shesis, so it's sort of like a wheatina kind of thing, which you make out of toasted wheat with honey. So Rav Acha bar Pinchas says, for that you need two soup spoons. And as far as kisani are concerned, which are toasted grains, tre buni de pumpadisa. So bunis usually mean handfuls, but over here, obviously, if it's buni de pumpadisa, people's hands aren't different in pumpadisa, even though they may engage in a lot of pocket picking. It doesn't make their hands larger. So because of that, the buni over here, says Rashi, is just a type of mida in pumpadisa. And my mommy told me, says Abaya, that that type of Wheaties, it's good for your heart, and it's good for anxiety. And another thing that my mommy told me is that if you've got a cardiac insufficiency, the good thing to do is bring meat that you get from the right thigh of a ram, and you got to cook it right. Now, the way to cook it right is you need the right fuel. So you need to have the dung of something that dropped this dung during Nisan. If you don't have that, you can always bring twigs from the old willow tree and turn them into coal first, and then use that coal to make the meat from your ram. And after that, you drink some of mixed wine with water, and that'll do it for you. And Rav Yonah Mershmul said you should know anything which is eaten together with the bread can be used with the Erev by measuring how much is usually eaten with it. But if it isn't eaten with bread, then it's how much of it is eaten. So this is the overall klal. So how about raw meat? Raw meat means two full meals. So why is raw meat considered to be food? Don't you have to cook it? No. You could be eating beef tatar. And Rabbah says when it comes to roasted meat, he would eat the entire meal with bread. So you only need lechol bo. But Rav Yosef, no, I eat it only the meat. So then it would mean meat. And Rav Yosef says, I can prove it to you that you eat meat just like that, because these Persians, they always eat tatar. They never eat the meat together with bread. That kills it. Tomorrow we're going to see why we can bring a raya from Persians.